because the church has lost its power. Why? The God of the Bible is alone to preach. So you, Christian brother and Christian sister, may I say, you can influence the world. You're a dangerous man, if you will, a woman, if you pray with earnest passion and desire, according to the will of God, that God would come and revive His church by means of bringing a reformation in its preachers and in its church life and its practices. You could be influential in the hands of God. You've got tremendous worth in that sense as a Christian man, Christian woman. You can help influence, if you will. God and His purposes know what He's going to do. But you could be an instrument to shape the destinies of men, of the world, through your prayers that God would come and deal with His existing, languishing, dying church and the preachers thereof. That makes you special, brother and sister. To come and pray is important for the state of the church, and the state of revival, in one sense, is dependent upon your praying for those things. God is sovereign, but God works when we pray and through our prayers, you see. So don't think, oh, just go to prayer meeting, another prayer meeting, you know, just another prayer. No, no, no. Oh Lord God, as we meet in the name of Jesus, come and shake us. Start with me as an individual, start with us as a family, start with us as a church. Then you know the church down the block, pray for them. Pray for the pastor. Pray for the other church and the other church and the churches in New York State and in the United States. Pray for them. Key men. Men who are in leadership, who are true Christians, but they're not preaching the whole Word of God. Pray for them specifically. How many times I can say before the Lord that I pray for my brother in Jesus Christ, Billy Graham, whom God used in the beginning of my Christian conversion as the first step in my salvation, for which I ever praise God for. But that does not negate that the man unconsciously, sincerely, unawarely is helping lead men to eternal hell by false doctrine. Pray for the man. Pray that he'll be more faithful to the Word of God. Pray for that. Pray for all these men. You can have tremendous usefulness, if you will, in God's purposes by praying for this. You see, the hope that the Christian really has is heaven. But anything short of that on this side of glory is what? Revival. God comes and revives men's hearts. But He won't do that unless we go back to the book. And we smash everything God says needs to be smashed. And we implement everything that God says needs to be implemented. And those men who are in leadership positions, who are implementing methods which God has never ordained, pray for them, that God would open up their hearts, that God would show them as they read the book, they're not understanding, something is wrong. They have good desires, good sincere motives, but they're completely wrong on the essentials of what gospel preaching is. No hell, no repentance, no holiness, no judgment, no holiness of God, no majesty of God, no obedience to God. And yet, they're still preaching. The work of Christ, that's another thing we didn't get into. What did Jesus really do upon the cross? Did He just make salvation possible? Or did He actually accomplish salvation? We're talking about a different understanding of the nature of Christ's work. Completely different. It's another gospel in one sense. And you say to yourself, Galatians chapter 1, Paul says, that if I or an angel from heaven come and preach any other gospel, let the anathema of God come upon it. Christian brother, Christian sister, pray. Pray that God would accomplish these purposes in His church and in His ministers. And you can be used as a tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. This little company of believers, and there's other companies, and this will multiply in other places, but together we might pray that God would do something in His church. But it must start with reformation, which would lead to revival if God is so pleased to do that. Well, may the Lord be pleased to bless the preaching of His holy word. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we do pray that You will be pleased to Make us very concerned about these things, Lord. Help us to know that your word is so important in how we use your word in the means of seeking to have a revival. We know, Lord, that only you could bring a revival. We long for it, Lord. We yearn for it. We desire it with all of our hearts. But we pray for brothers and sisters, particularly brothers who are in leadership positions. We pray for them, Lord. We know that they're your children. We know that they love you. But yet, Lord, there's areas of ignorance that they do not understand. And Lord, we would not be proud. For we know if we understand anything, it's by your grace. We pray for them. We pray that you would give them understanding in the Word of God. We pray that you would convict them and show them that they must preach repentance as well as faith. Judgment as well as heaven. Wrath as well as love. Oh God, help them. Help them to see that they are not being faithful to your word. We pray that you would do this in all the denominations of our country. We pray that mercy might be shown to these, your people, Lord, and that they might begin to preach the word of God from every pulpit in the land in a way that honors you, in a way that is faithful to your word. And then, Lord, we cry that you would bless the preaching of that word, that you bring about a revival, that you would deal in the hearts of our country. Lord, that you would bring us back to yourself. Oh, Lord, do this, we pray. We know this will never happen unless you bring your church back to the truth. Then, Lord, be pleased to bless. Be pleased to come and revive. Oh, Lord, deal with each one of us even this week. Deal with us personally. Deal with us in our homes. And deal with us as a church. That in every facet, oh, Lord, you might know what it means to be a revived people. We ask this, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.